All right, we are coming to you live from the Antlers down on East Portage Avenue. It's a Laker hockey show again this week, a Tuesday night, and a snowy Tuesday night. We've got a small crowd with us here at the Antlers. The weather's not cooperating. The head coach is not with us tonight. He's got a family commitment tonight, so joining us will be Zach Sizek, the assistant coach of the Lakers, one of the two assistants, and Damon Witten will not be here tonight. And joining us in the second part of our program tonight will be Brendan McKay, the junior out of Toronto, who has played every game so far this season for the Lakers, and we'll get some opinions from him on things. And get started tonight with Zach, and welcome to the show. First of all, let's talk a little bit about you. Why don't you background yourself? You're kind of the new guy on the block, and a lot of fans listening in and a lot of fans who are with us here tonight are not that familiar with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you played your junior hockey, et cetera, and where you played college hockey, and how you wind up here at Lake Superior State.
Yep. Well, I'm originally from Canton, Michigan. I went to Detroit Catholic Central. I played high school hockey there for 4 years. After that, I played a year of junior hockey in the North American League, and I played it at three different places in the 1 year, so it wasn't a very fun year. Got traded a couple times. I started off in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then I got traded to the Flint, Michigan Warriors, and then I actually got traded again to Traverse City. So I finished, I lived in Traverse City for about 6 months that year. And then after that, I wasn't talking to any schools or anything like that. Ended up just going to Michigan State as a student, and they had a goalie get hurt there, and one thing led to another, and I was able to walk on the team there. And I ended up playing two full seasons at Michigan State. After that, after I graduated, I did my grad studies at Miami University in Ohio, where I coached there for 2 years and completed my graduate degree. So that last year I was at the University of Notre Dame in their volunteer assistant coach. And this job opened up pretty late in the summer. I had worked here a couple summers in a row at the Bantam camp. So, and obviously with the Michigan State relationship with Mike and Damon, I was able to build a relationship pretty quick. And it, all the pieces just kind of fell in the right spot.
Tell us a little bit about that season you spent at Notre Dame as a volunteer assistant. You're not making any money there, but you're learning a lot. You got a great head coach in Jeff Jackson. You got Paul Pooley, Andy Slaggart. You got some others who are very, very good at what they do. One thing Notre Dame has, they got money, so they have a big staff and they have a lot of people who know what they're doing. Tell us about that experience.
No, it was a great experience. You know, like you said, it wasn't paid. There was a couple opportunities that I could have taken after my time at Miami, but I thought, what's one more year of, you know, being able to learn under people who are so respected? And it turned out to be so much more than that, gaining, meeting a lot of great people and being around such a fun environment, such a respected environment. It was a great year. Obviously, we're a goal short there. In the end, but learned a lot. There's great kids there. Learned a lot about how to do things hopefully the right way every day as a coaching staff.
Yeah, Notre Dame has top end players. They get a lot of players out of the National Development Program and a lot of the best players out of the U.S. League and the North American League if they happen to want one. They pretty much can pick and choose what they're doing there. They'll go out east once in a while and pick up a kid out of prep school, but they know what they're doing. They have a plan there. They know what they need every year, and their goaltending was really good last year. Did you have a lot to do with how well that goaltending? I mean, that's been the bugaboo for Jeff in recent seasons, and last year that was one of the strong points.
Yeah, no, I think just like all teams have recruiting battles, they do it where I think they do a good job. And, yeah, I mean, maybe they certainly have an advantage there with the facilities, but you know, they're still recruiting against all the other Big Ten programs who have nice facilities. So they've certainly found their niche and how to get those top end players there. In terms of working with Kale last year, he taught me a ton. It was great to get on the ice with him and with Nick and Dylan there also. They all did a fantastic job. And it was great to learn from those guys.
Yeah, and Jeff Jackson, of course, he's worked with goaltenders. He was a goaltender like you. He was like the extra goaltender, the third guy at Michigan State when he was a player. And proved himself as a coach and assistant and then a head coach here at Lake Superior, and has gone on to coach at various levels, OHL, professionally in the NHL. He's run the gamut on coaching, so he knows what he's doing. And he told me over the summer, he said, you know, Zach Sizek's a candidate for your assistant coach's job there, and he did a tremendous job with our goaltender. So he paid you a lot of compliments, too. And there's an ex-goalie. So he said, I just kind of turned it over to Zach and let him run with it, and he did a good job. Now, you're working with our goaltenders here at Lake Superior State. You've got three young guys there who are very similar, and you got two sophomores and a senior. Tell us a little bit about working with them and what you think so far.
Yeah, no, I think I know I've told a couple people this. You know, it was a great situation to come into. I moved up here probably a week and a half, 2 weeks before school started, and we kind of hit it right off the bat with off ice testing. And out of our 29 guys, our three goalies finished in the top six for all the off ice testing, which is a testament to their character, their work ethic. So that was something that we were able to go in right away and start to work on the mechanics more than anything else. The work ethic, their drive was already built there, which isn't the same with every goalie. So it was a very easy situation for me to come into in terms of that.
We're talking to Zach Sizek. He's the newest assistant coach on the Lakers, and he came to us from Notre Dame last year where he was a volunteer. Before that, he did his graduate work at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. He's worked with Rico Blasi and that staff, and that's another good coaching staff. A lot of learning when you're coaching, and you know, it's always a learning process for everything, any job you do, but certainly this coaching game, it's a teaching game, and there are an awful lot of different ways to approach things. How do you approach things as a coach with the goaltenders, for instance? How do you handle working with three different people, and how difficult is that?
Well, it's certainly it's an interesting position. I think it requires more of an intimate relationship with each guy. And well, one thing that we do, and one thing that, you know, it's just a philosophy of mine, is that I like to have individual sessions with our guys. Some teams do, where they have three goalies out twice a week. For me, I feel like I'd rather have the one-on-one time and cut a session, but make sure it's all about them and learning strengths. And that was a learning curve right away, as I had to get up to speed. I didn't have the summer or a lot of video on the guys, so I had to, you know, get out there with them that first week. Those first couple of weeks were really important, just to assess where we wanted to go. And it's important for each of those sessions, we're doing different things with each guy. So that's why I think those sessions are so important.
Yeah, I think the players like it. They like the individualized attention. We haven't had a full-time goaltender coach with the Lakers for a while now, and It's really good to have that because it's such an important position. I mean, you could see examples of it this past weekend. You know, it was a really tough weekend for Lake Superior State from a number of standpoints. You got 6 points on the line. You wind up getting one of them. And a 3-0 lead going into the latter stages, final couple minutes of the second period on Saturday night, and we wind up losing that game 4-3 in regulation. But you got to give Alaska a lot of credit. They played hard. They just kept coming. And how does the coaching staff look at that after those two games? What sorts of things did you talk about on Monday to get ready to go back to work here this week?
Oh, and I know, I think we talked about it in between one of the periods and one of the games, is that we knew going into this weekend that this was a good team. Their record certainly didn't show that, but the team, the strength of schedule they played coming into the weekend with us, I don't know if a team played a harder schedule. So we knew what to expect, and you know, a ton of credit goes to them for sure. I think they executed the right way. I think they made adjustments along the way that helped them too. So a lot of credit to them. In terms of talking to our guys after the game, or kind of the message for this week, maybe there's, you know, there was times even when we were winning a couple games in a row there that we weren't as sharp on things as we would have liked to, but the result was a win, so they're a little easier to push under the rug. You know, with the loss brings some new adversity and new ways to adjust to things, and I think so far this week the guys have responded really well.
Yeah, it's really a tough time right now trying to get ready to go to Bowling Green. You got 8 games in a row right here that are really tough. There is no cupcake in here anywhere. And right now the Lakers are kind of reeling after coming off those losses. And yet the record is still very good, 5-2-1, and still in fourth place right now in the WCHA. But you got to go to Bowling Green this weekend and play a really good team on its ice, and they're tough at home. And then you come home and you play Northern Michigan, which is a rivalry for us, 3 hours away. And then in comes Minnesota State, Mankato, probably the best team in the conference the last many seasons now, and very, very good again this year. And then you go 4 weeks from now up to Fairbanks. You play a team that just took 5 points from you out of a possible 6. They got to have a lot of confidence. This is not going to be easy here. And I wonder if our guys are really sitting down and looking at that and thinking about how important these next 8 games are.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I could say like every coach would say every game's important and all that. But, you know, I'm sure guys have looked at the schedule a little bit. I think it's up to us as a staff to make sure we're grounded and that we're thinking about this weekend. Because, you know, this is, like you said, it's a very good Bowling Green team. I think they have a little bit of a different identity at home. It's a, you know, they crash and bang really well, and they have a lot of team speed. So it's going to be a great challenge for us for sure. But it's good. I think we've, you know, made a couple adjustments, certainly challenging our guys a certain way. And I think we're going to be ready for it.
Well, let's hope so, because they are big and strong and they can score. Their leading scorers have, you got 2 guys with 13 points, and they've got some others with 11 and 8. They're scoring goals. They got great goaltending, and that's something you could talk about with a little bit of authority. Eric Dopp, goaltender of the week in the league this past week for going 4-plus periods, shutting out Anchorage up in Anchorage before his team finally won in the second overtime and picked up 2 points. And then the other guy is just as good, Ryan Bednard, and they're both big and strong and very mobile and quick, and they're going to be tough, and that's the kind of thing we're going to have to face right now. They're probably the best 2 goaltending tandem in the WCHA.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've, like, again, the whole team, they've done a good job. They started the year really strong. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. Both, you know, I don't know a ton about the Eric Dopp kid, but obviously he just came off a good weekend. Watching his game, he had a really good game in Anchorage. I know Ryan just from watching him play a lot more, and he's a big kid, and he plays pretty simple. Not a ton of movement with him, which is how he should play based on his size. So no, it's going to be a challenge, and we're going to have to get pucks to the net and get our bodies there. But then we're going to have to, it's going to be those second efforts, because it might be tough to get them on straight shots.
Yeah, one of the problems that came out of this past weekend too is we've kind of gone back to playing a style where we give up goals late in periods and give up goals early in periods. That's been a bugaboo for this team in recent years. The last 2 or 3 seasons, that's been a problem. And here it is coming back to haunt us again. We give up a goal in the final minute and a half of the second period on Saturday night, and that leads to a momentum change. And then we give up one early in the third period. How do we offset that? What do you do as a coach to try to talk to the players about what it is they need to do to stop this from happening?
Well, I think a lot of it's just focus, and you know, we don't have any cupcakes on our schedule, and teams can score at any moment. You know, I think as much as that's on our guys to stay focused, that's a lot of that is on us as a staff, and we're going to have to do a better job at staying on guys and just making sure that we're responding well after, you know, we're scoring goals, or if we're giving up a couple goals, that we can respond the right way. So as a coaching staff, we will for sure take a lot of credit in that.
Well, we're talking with Zach Sizek, the assistant coach, one of 2 assistant coaches with the Lakers. Again, Damon Witten unable to join us tonight. He's got a family commitment, but Zach is graciously sitting in. And it's a tough time to come in and be on this show, because we're coming off a weekend in which we got 1 of a possible 6 points, and a team that we were playing against came in 0-7-1 on the season, although we pointed out many times Friday night before game 1 that Alaska is a much better team than that record would indicate, having had games at Denver and at Arizona State and St. Cloud at home, and then at Minnesota State Mankato, and they were in every one of those games. They did not get blown out by anybody, and they certainly played well this past weekend. Offensive player of the week, just to give you an idea, Michigan Tech got that. Jake Lucchini, the senior centerman, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points in a sweep at Ferris State. Diego Cuglietta was an honorable mention there with a goal and 2 assists, 3 points against Alaska for the Lakers on the weekend. Defensive player of the week was Seamus Donahue, the sophomore defenseman from Michigan Tech. They always go offensive with defensive player of the week, but he had 3 assists in that sweep at Ferris State. And Will Rydell was an honorable mention from the Lakers with a goal and an assist. He was our guest as the student athlete on the show last week. The goaltender of the week, as I mentioned, was Eric Dopp from Bowling Green. 30 saves in the 0-0 tie through almost 5 periods. They went into a second overtime at Anchorage on Friday night, and I'm sure we'll see Eric Dopp this weekend at Bowling Green. The rookie of the week was Chris Jandrick, the defenseman from Alaska. He had 2 goals and 2 assists in the weekend against the Lakers for 4 points. He had the game-winning goal on that slap shot on the power play in the third period on Saturday night. And again, Jacob Nordquist, who was rookie of the week last week, was the honorable mention from the Lakers here this week. He had a goal and an assist, was a +2 hockey player for Lake Superior. So the Lakers had 3 players right there. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the second part of our program here tonight. It's the Laker Hockey Show again tonight, live from the Antlers on East Portage on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back at the Antlers on a snowy Tuesday evening in the month of November. Looks like winter is setting in a little bit early this year. Good news for the hunters, though, and hunting season does open up on the 15th. So I'm sure there are a lot of people out at camp right now preparing for that. We've got Zach Sizek with us here, the assistant coach of the Lakers, sitting in for Damon Whitten tonight. And let's talk a little bit about this Bowling Green team. We mentioned them a moment ago. They've got outstanding goaltending, and goaltending is kind of your area of expertise. So we've already hit on Bednard and Dopp. They're very good. They're both big. They can move. It'll be tough. Let's talk about some of the rest of the players they've got on this team. And I don't want to necessarily get into individuals, but they do have some players who've been around for a while. I think they're one of the better teams in the WCHA right now. Their record would indicate that. They are ranked in the top 20, and they're going to be a handful for Lake Superior, especially kind of getting our egos swatted around a little bit this past weekend. But like you just said a few moments ago, you got to go play the games. Every game's a challenge, and you got to be ready on Friday night when they hit the ice against BG.
Yeah, no, I think, when I was at Michigan State, we played Bowling Green. When I was at Miami, we played Bowling Green, so I have a good amount of familiarity with them. And I think this year they're probably a little faster than they've been in the past. They've always played heavy, especially at home. It gets pretty rowdy there. So this is a fast team. They have a good power play, like you said. Their goaltending's been good. Their defensemen, they have a couple that are pretty offensive. They're good at getting pucks through. So like I said, this is going to be a great challenge for us.
Well, you look at their goaltending right now. Bednard comes in 7-1-1 on the season with a 1.33 goals against average and a save percentage of .943. Those are pretty gaudy statistics right there. And Eric Dopp's not any worse. He's 0-1-1 on the season, but he's got a 1.46 goals against average and a 95 save percentage. So, you know, the Laker goaltenders, Merrick Smittens is at 91 on the save percentage and 2.52 goals against. He's 2-2 on the year. And Nick Kossoff is 3-0-1 with a 2.94 and an 89 save percentage. So, you know, they're little bit better statistics, but the Lakers have played some tough games as well, and the goaltending should be good both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this weekend, you know, in terms of statistic-wise, certainly hurt both of those guys. But I think, you know, it wasn't our best weekend of hockey. We didn't play 60 minutes each game, which is what I expect us to do this weekend. So I think any game, goaltending is going to be important. And like you said, we've got a great challenge ahead of us to play either one of these guys this coming weekend.
Yeah, one of the real differences Saturday night was that Alaska managed to quit taking penalties. I think they took one in a coincidental fashion late in the game, but they stayed out of the box in the third period, and that's where the Lakers were beating them. We scored 3 power play goals on them in the second period, so their coaching staff got through. Their guys stayed out of the box. We took two bad penalties, one late in the second period and one very late in the game. How do you overcome that kind of stuff, and what do? You just stress it and show it and just try to get through to the players who were involved that we can't do this because it's going to cost us hockey games?
Yeah, I mean, you have to stay out of the box. The special teams and goaltending are so important. And I think it's definitely on us as a staff to keep stressing it. And like you said, I think show it too, and show what happens when we don't do things the right way or we hook and hold. And it's also on our guys too to make sure that they're holding each other accountable. And one thing we actually talked about in practice yesterday and today was, you know, there is going to be a consequence in practice if we're taking penalties in practice. So if we're doing, you know, a 5-on-5 scrimmage in practice, and we're going to treat it just as if it was a game. If you take a penalty, you're getting off, and we're going to be shorthanded.
Yeah, I thought it was a tough break too, though. We made some changes, inserted some fresh legs into the lineup on Saturday night, took a couple of players who either didn't play all that well or didn't do that much, and maybe were tired and have been playing a lot, so we put some guys in. I'm thinking of Miro Muka getting into the lineup, and Melvin Carlson hadn't played since Merrimack. And yet, because of all the penalties and the power plays and the other things going on, we wind up using the same players a lot. And those young guys who were trying to get experience didn't see that many shifts in the game, maybe 6 or 8 shifts in the entire hockey game.
Well, it's tough, and, you know, for them especially, being, you know, not having a ton of experience. But even for those guys who don't play a ton of special teams, you know, they could play 100 games in their career, and it still throws them a little bit out of sync. When you're not getting regular shifts, and you hit it on the head, like, that obviously we want to stay out of the box for not giving up power play goals, but to make sure we have all our guys engaged as well.
Yeah, getting back to goaltending too, it's not really an issue with this team. They've been very good so far this season, and you work with them all the time, so you can comment on it. But you know, even that in the third period on Saturday night, we got victimized there. They score the game-winning goal on a slap shot from the blue line, and okay, it's a big pro-type shot, but that same kid had just shot the same shot not a minute earlier and missed the net on it. Merrick seemed to be surprised by that shot, and yet I think he saw it the whole way. It was a clear lane. It wasn't like he was screened, but you look at that kind of stuff, and do you say anything to a guy? Do you tell him, hey, you should have come out and challenged more, or do you let it go?
No, we definitely, you know, not just that, we definitely addressed that play, but just – and we, with our goalies, we watch every shot attempt that they have in every game. We videotape all their goalie sessions, so we watch a lot of video one-on-one with each guy. And, you know, I think Mitz, you know, you mentioned Saturday, I think Mitz has been great for us. There's a couple for sure that he wanted back. I think everyone on the team makes mistakes all over the ice, and obviously for the goalie position, that when you make a mistake, it shows up on the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. So, it's about how, you know, you want to put it in perspective, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, there was one, too, where they tied the game on Steven Jandrick's goal, and I think they really got kind of lucky on that. He was on the half wall, way off to the wall, and Merrick's stick was either knocked out of his hands or he dropped it. He tried to get the stick, and while he was paying attention to the stick, this kid fires it from nowhere, and it's in the net.
Yeah, no, that's another play that, you know, probably – play doesn't happen very much. He probably doesn't shoot that very much on the power play. But just details. And that's something we talked about with Mitz this week. And he's a very detailed kid. He works extremely hard. Obviously he wasn't happy with that goal, but he's got to just make the next save.
Yeah, and it's not easy because you get your mind kind of comes off things. You just got tied when you had a 3-0 lead late in the second period, and I think everything kind of snowballs against you at that point. Then we take a bad penalty, and next thing you know, Alaska's out of here with 5 points, and that's just a tough way to go.
Yeah, no, and I think Alaska had a great weekend, but we definitely expect more out of ourselves. We put ourselves in a hole both nights, obviously, giving up 2 goals, and whatever it was, the first 5 or 6 minutes of Friday night's not good enough. Even if those goals, it didn't go in, I just don't think we played up to the standard we expect. Even if it was 0-0, we can't come out and start like that. And then on Saturday, I thought we started better for the most part. Obviously, until that penalty very late. Now we played good, but it's got to be a full 60. And there's sounds very cliche, but there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher too. You come out Friday night and there are about 800 people in the building where you had 3,800 just you know, 6 days earlier against Michigan. And that's tough to get it going too. It doesn't exactly get you fired up, but you got to be ready, everybody you play against. And I think our guys know that. I'm not saying no, but I think they played hard all weekend, but there were some people who've been really effective for us this season who didn't get a whole lot done on the weekend in the point parade, and we needed some goals, and we had a couple guys who just couldn't get to the net with a puck, and when they did, they either got stopped. I thought Martinson was outstanding, especially in the first period Friday night, and the Grigals kid, he was just as good. They got two good goaltenders at Alaska. They're not going to take a backseat to anybody.
No, and I think, you know, that's one thing that we're very fortunate is that we don't have to worry about our guys not coming out ready to play. It's definitely not for lack of effort. I would say this weekend was more small details than anything else, and being focused. And obviously, we want our guys to be ready all the time. And that's definitely on us as a staff as well to make sure those guys are ready to go. But there's, again, I think we're very fortunate that our guys come ready to play every game.
Well, you get on a bus on Thursday. You'll drive down to Bowling Green. You'll practice there Thursday evening. It's about a 6.5-hour trip down there, so that's not bad. It's certainly a lot better than going to Huntsville, Alabama. But I think they'll be ready on Friday night. They're going to be up against a better team, though, than Alaska. This Bowling Green team is deep, and they'll be tough, and they're on their home ice. And they've been filling their building up, which is nice to see, because that's a program that almost was eliminated 5 seasons ago, and they brought it back under Chris Bergeron and done a really good job, and now they've got a lot of fans there, and there's not even a thought about cutting hockey at Bowling Green anymore. In fact, there's a lot of talk now about them going to the NCHC in the future along with Arizona State. So we'll see what develops there, but it's going to be a tough weekend, and we'll have to be ready for it, and hopefully the guys are thinking about that as they get prepared for Bowling Green on Friday night. Zach, we're going to move you out. We're going to move Brendan McKay in to the next part of our program here, and then Zach will come back and join us right at the end, and we'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show live on ESPN 1400 from the Antlers. Okay, we are back live at the Antlers Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday evening. We follow Randy Russin and his Hockey North show every week. He was on at 5 tonight. And joining us now is Brendan McKay, moving in, junior forward for the Lakers out of Toronto. And Brendan, why don't you tell everybody listening in a little bit about yourself, where you played your minor hockey growing up, and then where you played junior hockey before you came to Lake Superior State, and how you wound up here being a Laker.
So, like you said, I'm from Toronto, and right in the heart of the city there, and I grew up playing, you know, AA for a while for the North York Knights, and then I moved up to AAA, and I played with the Toronto Young Nationals for my minor minute draft year, which is the OHL draft year in Canada, and then for Major Midget I played with 1 year with them again, and then finished off with the Don Mills Flyers. And I played 3 years of juniors, 1.5 in Alberta Junior Hockey League in Drayton Valley, and finished off in the Saskatchewan League in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. And you know, as you know, Bill, my brother was on this team, and then I think he was going into his senior year when I finished juniors. And I've been talking to Damon a bit in the summer, and he gave me an opportunity to walk on to the Lakers. And you know, it took a little bit of time to get the official nod, but finally got it, and redshirted my first year, and then here I am.
I'll tell you what, perseverance is this guy's middle name, because he's been here. This is his fourth year, really. He redshirted a year with us, and he has worked very, very hard to get any part of this lineup right now, and he's dressed as the extra forward most games right now, and that means the coaches have to think about him a little bit if they're going to remember to get him in the lineup here and there. And he comes out, kills penalties, takes faceoffs. The other night, and I kind of predicted that was going to happen pregame too, we're going to see McKay out there with the young guys. And that's what happened. You get out there with Miro and with Melvin a few shifts too. And, you know, unfortunately, we spent the night taking penalties and being on the power play. And so it gets tough to get ice time. But, you know, you've gone through some personal difficulties as well. Your mom passed away a couple of weeks ago. That's a very difficult situation. She'd been ill for quite a while, and your dad's been around. I mean, I've seen that guy, what, 8 years now. He's been coming around Laker hockey, and he's going to – we'll see him again at Bowling Green. But he's a great guy, Barry McKay, and he's had two sons play the full gamut here at Lake Superior State by the time you finish up next year.
Yeah, you know, he jokes around that he's coming for the mayor's job in this town pretty soon. So, you know, he likes to call himself the pseudo mayor of Sault Ste. Marie. But, yeah, no, he's been, you know, so supportive of me and Austin. He's up here, you know, almost every weekend when I was playing, when I wasn't playing, and on the road as well. So, you know, he's been huge.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your family now, too. Austin, your older brother, was a captain of this team when he was a senior. And Austin's not a tremendous player, but he's a hard worker and a great leadership guy. And that kind of came to the front when he became captain of this team. He's right now kind of sitting out. He's with Atlanta in the East Coast Hockey League, but he's not sure what he wants to do there. And with your mom passing and everything, he's been home for a while. But let's talk a little bit about the family. You got a sister as well, too, who's very much involved in things. And your dad, of course, he's around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of the guys.
Yes, he is. Yeah, so Austin, you know, he's a big reason as to, you know, why I'm here with the Lakers. His, you know, impact on the team was huge, and, you know, the coaches thought so much of his character and his work ethic that, you know, that was a big part of the reason why they brought me in when there was still a number of guys on the team. So, you know, I owe a lot to him for, you know, doing such a good job in his time here. And, you know, both, I guess you said, both McKay's and their time with the Lakers have, you know, earned everything they've gotten. So I was very proud of, you know, all that he's accomplished.
Have you always wanted to play college hockey? Was that always a goal of yours, or is that more your parents trying to push you in that direction to get a degree? A lot of young guys who play hockey in Canada really have their eyes on that Major A shot, and I don't know maybe if you didn't get it or what, but we're glad to have you here. Did you want to get the degree? Is that why you're here?
You know, I was talking to Zach on the way here, and I was saying, you know, being in Toronto, the OHL is the main event. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's what we're, you know, I'm not going to say brought up to, you know, everybody wants to make the OHL coming out of Toronto. And I hadn't heard much of about college hockey growing up, to be honest with you, until, you know, Austin didn't really know much about it either until he got committed after his last year at juniors and coming here. And then when I start juniors, you start to hear more about the other route. But again, I didn't hear much about it growing up at all, but I was always going to get a degree regardless of if it was here or just, you know, back at a Canadian university, but it just worked out that, and we got to do both at the same time.
Now, you're a junior, but you're actually a fourth-year student right now. What's your major, and how are you doing? You're going to be on track to get a degree in 4 years?
I'm definitely on track. My degree's finance and economics. We got a lot of great you know, business professors that have been really good for me in my, you know, academic development. And, you know, they're very connected, and they've been very successful in their previous jobs. So, you know, I'm really enjoying learning from them.
Yeah, it's a good school. It's a small school. You can get a good education here. You get what you you get out of it, what you put into it. We've always said that. That was our marketing ploy when we were doing that sort of thing at Lake Superior State, and it's always been that small one-on-one school, and that's what you get. And everybody who's been here in the last 50 years always talks about Dr. Saluja. I don't know if you ever had him for business law or any of the other things he teaches, but he's got a lot of fans amongst the student athletes.
You know, I've met him a couple times, but I've heard about how hard his classes are, so I dodged him for business law one. and I took it, I guess he doesn't do night classes anymore, so last year I dodged him and got it with a different professor.
Yeah, I think Madden only does fall, too. He takes off and gets out of here in the winter. He's getting a little bit smarter as he ages. But, Brendan, you know, we got to play Bowling Green this weekend. I know you'll be on that bus on Thursday, and you're very much a part of the leadership cadre on this team. And what do you think? They're tough. They're a good team. Do you guys look at any of that kind of stuff? I mean, you played them before. You know who's on the team. You know they got good goaltending, and they're big and fast and strong and all that. It's got to be a big challenge. It's a physical challenge.
It is for sure. And, you know, we'd be lying if we didn't say we checked the record and the rankings. And, you know, first off, I think it's pretty impressive that we got two teams in the top 10, I believe, in our conference. And, you know, us and I think Bemidji are just outside the top 20. So, you know, they're a good team, but we're really excited to go up and, you know, make up for some of the, you know, mistakes we had this past weekend. But we've always played Bowling Green very close. They've always been exciting games, and it's a fun atmosphere to play in, so we should be, you know, really excited to get on this bus.
Yeah, it's a good building. It's got that low ceiling. They make a lot of noise in there. Their students are very much involved. It's a student-oriented crowd for the most part, and they've been packing the place. I've been checking their attendance figures, and they're very, very good. And speaking of attendance figures, that had to be a lot of fun for you guys as players to come out against Michigan, those great crowds we had 2 weeks ago.
That was, you know, that for playing at home, that was the most special experience I've had at Lake State. And I remember when Michigan State came up a couple years ago, it was pretty mm-hmm. full. I didn't get to play in those games, but just watching them was crazy. And, you know, seeing what the numbers were, 3,800 against for Michigan, you know,
right.
2 weeks ago, that it was amazing seeing the taffy so full and everybody was so loud and supportive. And the bell when we went on Friday, I've never seen it that packed before. So that was an experience I'll definitely never forget.
Yeah, and that is one of the great traditions of college hockey. We talk about it all the time. We kind of take it for granted here. We've been doing it for so long. But going out and ringing that victory bell, the Hoholic bell, after a win at home, that's special. And it's something that not every team, they don't have that sort of thing. Most teams don't have that. We've got it here, and we really like that.
No, for sure. It took me a while to get my first bell ring. But once you make that run, it's definitely – one of the most unique experiences you're going to have. You know, you get the high fives on the way in and out, and you see so many people that are students that or not students, people around town you see, and it really, you know, makes you feel part of the community and really makes this program. I know it's a small school, small town, but it really makes it special to be a part of this program.
You know, one of the things you could talk about with some authority would be how difficult it is to sit up in the stands and watch rather than playing and getting into the lineup. You had to do that for longer than I know you'd like to do, but it also gives you an opportunity to maybe talk to the guys who are doing that right now. There are some guys on this team who haven't played in a lot of games so far, and they get down. They get depressed. They want to play. They want to get in the lineup. That's why they're here, and you can sit down with them and talk to them about keep working, keep plugging, because you'll get there.
Yeah, I think, you know, when beginning of the year when we talked about, you know, what are the team goals individually and stuff, I think I mentioned, you know, it might not be the way you want to start the season, but a lot happens in the course of a hockey season. So I've had a few chats with guys who maybe aren't playing as much as they'd like to, and I know how tough it is, but, you know, again, like I'm going to repeat it, so many things can happen, and if you just keep working hard, you know, eventually it'll get noticed and you get rewarded. So I have every bit of faith in the guys who aren't where they want to be right now if they keep working hard, that, you know, to work out for.
Well, it was a depressing weekend last week. You don't want to lose 5 points out of a possible six to a team that had come in without a win. But, hey, those guys were tough, and they played really well. They deserve credit for what they did. But the Lakers, we got to remember, are still 5-2-1 and just outside the top 20 in the national polls. And we can turn this whole thing around this coming weekend at Bowling Green.
Yeah, we can, you know, make everybody forget about last weekend pretty quick with the opportunity we have coming up this weekend. Like you said, we're five, two and one. You know, the lessons we've learned this past weekend, I think it's good that it happened in the first, you know, 10 games in the season rather than this kind of thing happened in February, March. So where we got a lot of time to, you know, feel how much that hurt last weekend and learn from it and make sure that, you know, when you're up 3-0 at home with 1 minute left in the second, that you close it out.
Well, you know, and the thing is, college hockey players, they tend to be, it's not like you're a 16-year-old kid playing junior or even 18 years old. Most of the college hockey players are over 20 years old at this point. You can speak with authority on this. This coaching staff is not one that goes in and kicks over garbage cans and yells and screams and swears at everybody when things aren't going well. This is a staff that has a cadre of leadership players that it meets with regularly. The players have a lot of say in what's going on with the Laker team right now, and they're being treated in a way that probably most of us would like to be treated, so now that response has to come from you.
Exactly. You know, I think we've, you know, a lot of the older guys, I think the guys with letters, you know, asked to be treated like, you know, men, and, you know, as you say, we're above 20, we are, and it's, I guess, you know, when you put it on your shoulders, you got to be able to respond. So the coaches have given us a lot of responsibility to lead the younger guys in the team, and I think, you know, we've done a good job so far. You know, we still have a good record, but we gotta, you know, step up this weekend and make sure that this slide doesn't continue.
All righty, Brendan McKay joining us here tonight. We're gonna let Brendan get out of here and go sit out in the audience, and we'll bring Zach Sizek back for the final portion of our show, Laker Hockey Show, tonight on ESPN 1400. All right, I love this part of the show. We've got about 10 questions for Zach Sizek tonight from the fans who are with us here. That's what happens when you get beat a game. Everybody's got a lot of questions about what's okay. going on. So,
all right.
I love some of these. They're really good. First of all, the first question we've got is Alaska scored 2 power play goals from the point this past weekend. I think both of them were by the same kid. Why can't we get shots through like Chris Jandrick did twice for Alaska on the weekend?
No, it's not necessarily power play, but I think just in general, that's one thing we talked. We did a battle game yesterday in the middle of practice working on getting pucks through. I think, you know, there's a couple of clips we showed where we've just got to be a little heavier at their net front. So I think we've got to clear their guys out because everyone wants to block shots. So we've got to have that mentality to once we get in there that we're going to push them out and take away their goalie's eyes. And I think we haven't had that yet. And then I think our shot blocking needs to get better. That's something we've done the last couple of practices. And it is a little bit of a skill for sure, but I think it's more of a mentality. So I think that's on us to find ways to get shots through. In terms of us getting scored on from the point, we have to be better at blocking shots. Our goalies making the saves and just overall just getting traffic out of the way.
Yeah, and I think the other key to that whole thing is Chris Jandrick can shoot the puck. I mean, he is big time from that point. He can shoot it like an NHL player, and there aren't a lot of college guys who can shoot the puck like that. The signing period, it starts tomorrow. Do we have any recruits that we expect are going to sign a national letter of intent with us?
I don't think I'm allowed to talk about
this. Well, you can't name names. I know that.
Okay.
But you can say whether somebody is about to sign.
Yes.
All right.
But I can't say names. I'm sorry.
Can't use any names. Yeah. And we do kind of know because you see it on other sites, et cetera. Okay. So how about coaches going to Bowling Green? Are all 3 coaches going to make this trip, or is somebody going to go off recruiting?
We'll all be there. I will be recruiting. You know, we're so close to Detroit, and there's a ton of stuff going on in Detroit. So I would be making sure to make my rounds.
Yeah, and it's that's one good thing. Detroit, pretty easy to get over to Bowling Green. It's if you want to go to Detroit or Toledo or any of those places, it's a simple trip to get to Bowling Green. So that'll work pretty well. Did Alaska do anything different this weekend that you hadn't seen on film when you studied to get ready for them in the first place?
No, I don't think so. Like when you go back and look at the plays that we got scored on, a lot of them, you know, we're racking our brains about the penalty kill goals at the end of the Saturday game, and they were all off of broken plays, either a face-off play or a guy blows a tire there and a good shot, and you know it wasn't anything too much off structure. So I don't think they caught us off guard with anything like that. I think our details just weren't where they need to be.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing they did that won them that game on Saturday night is they stayed out of the penalty box in the third period, and we did not. So, you know, we got to talk to our players about that end of things, and they did a good job. They adjusted right there. Here's a great question. I love this one. Did Coach Jackson tell you anything about the Sioux or give you any tips on life in the Sioux before you came up here?
That's funny. I just got that question. not too much. I mean, whenever I talk to him, he gives me little bits and pieces. But my first, you know, I got the job. I think it was the first week of August. And I had to be up here in about 10 days. So it was I was in scramble mode, and he let me stay at his place I stayed there for 2 weeks. So he just actually sold it. So it was a really nice place. I really liked it. I was trying to have him let me live there, but I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, you and Steve Heading. Heading has been after him to rent that place for 5 years now.
Yeah.
But and it's a great place. And we'll never see Jeff Jackson up here again now since he sold his house. But, hey, he's done a tremendous job at Notre Dame. And I don't know. I find that question hilarious because I don't think Coach Jackson knows that much about Sault Ste. Marie. I don't think he ever left his house when he was up here. But you got to know him to appreciate that. Is there a particular goaltending style that you prefer to develop with the players, like butterfly, stand-up, or does it depend on the player, or do you let them kind of decide how they want to do that and then work with them?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's been a lot of those buzzwords around goaltending, and I think it's starting to shift now to just being an athlete. I go kind of back to USA Hockey. I think they're doing a great job at the youth level now. I think it always used to be put the kid in the net who can't skate. And now we realize how important the position is to wins and losses. And I think the mindset's changing where why don't we want the most athletic kid in net if they have such a big impact on the game. So I think that's the way it's going, and we're certainly looking for, and when I'm evaluating, I'm looking for a guy who's athletic and who thinks like a hockey player. He's not just a goalie.
Yeah, we're going to see the development team here in December, too. We're going to go down and play a game in Plymouth, a single game against all those young guys, and they've been beating a lot of really good Division I teams this year. They've got some outstanding players in that lineup, but they got a future Irish player and Ryder Ralston, the son of Brian Ralston, who did play here at Lake Superior State. And Doug Waite's kid, Danny Waite, is going to go play out at BU, but he's going to be in that lineup too. That's going to be that'll be a really tough test, and one that maybe the Lakers might not take all that seriously because they're young kids, but they're really a good team.
Oh, no, that's a great team, and it's always a weird situation depending on when you play them. You know, we're going to be getting back just from Alaska that week and right after finals. So it'll be a great challenge for us to, first of all, be mentally ready to play. But I mean, when you look at their roster, they've got some incredibly talented guys. So we definitely know what we're up against. That's for sure.
As a goaltending coach, and this is the final of our questions from the fans here tonight, do you ever have advice for the defensive players? Do you work at all with defensemen too, to try to help them out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important for the goalie and defenseman to be on the same page. And I would think that I'm more defensive minded than offensive minded. Even when we're talking with forwards, there's a lot of habit things that we like our forwards to be good with on the defensive side of the puck, and I'll let Mike talk about the offensive side of the puck.
Yeah, well, Mike could do that. There's no doubt about that. Well, Zach, I really appreciate you sitting in for Coach Witten tonight. Again, Damon Witten had a family commitment and could not be here tonight, so Zach moved in at the 11th hour to sit in and do this. It's not always easy to answer a lot of questions, especially coming off a tough series where you lost a game, but did a good job. And hey, let's look forward to Bowling Green. We got them coming up this Friday and Saturday nights, and we'll be down there along with you guys and give them a test.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Enjoyed being here.
Zach Sizek, the assistant coach of the Lakers. Want to thank Brendan McKay for joining us tonight, and Emily back at the station. Matt Pocket Engineering here at the Antlers. We'll be back your way next Tuesday night with another edition of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.